Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved, and its host and its founder is Carol Marks. Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's start the program with Carol's first guest, Anne Lamott. Anne Lamott's an American novelist and nonfiction writer. She's also a progressive political activist, public speaker, and writing teacher. In her latest book, Almost Everything, Notes on Hope, Lamott calls upon readers to rediscover nuggets of hope and wisdom that are buried within.
What made you decide to write these memorable essays about hope and the vital role it can play in our life?
I started writing it early last summer when I realized I'd known for a while that everyone I loved felt just defeated and hopeless in the political climate and the political realities. And then, of course, some of the people have someone in their family who's sick, and that's just so devastating. And then some of them had all of this going on and a bad marriage or the end of a marriage and I just felt like, what can I do to help people get realigned in who we really are, which is that we're good, decent people. We're not haters, and yet we've become haters. And the hating was one of the reasons, I think, that we felt so doomed and defeated, one of the reasons. And so I started writing one chapter that was called Don't Let Them Get You to Hate Them. And I felt that I've always heard if you've got a problem, go look in the mirror. And so I looked in the mirror and I saw the areas where I could possibly become a person of less judgment, less self-righteousness. And so I set about doing that and healing some of that within me. And then I could see all these other ways that when I feel really defeated and scared to death, I can look around, look within, turn to in certain directions and remember that certain things have always worked before and they almost certainly will again.
Well, you have excellent, all kinds of good advice in your book. And it's also laced with humor, which we need even more badly when we're having problems living in difficult times. But our times have always been difficult. And you said, so writing, and it made me laugh, that when it comes to fixing something, you've got to remember it, you can be really fix it if you unplug it. And certainly doesn't that refer to our emotional problems and the problems that we perceive around us? So how can we go about unplugging these problems we're experiencing?
Well, yeah, if there's an entire chapter that in its entirety says everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. So I really believe that this is true. And so how do we unplug? Well, the main thing is that for me is that I just feed this very toxic obsession in my brain about how awful everything is and how angry and sad and hopeless I feel. And then I usually turn on the TV and then go to all my favorite news sites and get even more reason to feel scared or angry. And so I, as a radical act, unplug the phone. I leave it with me when I go on hikes. I make myself go outside. I make myself do things that are generous and that are bringing other people hope. If you bring other people hope, then the hope exists in the room that you've brought it to. You go visit your crankiest relative. You go over to St. Anthony's dining room and you help them wash dishes that day. You take the action and the insight follows that we are not people of hate and self-righteous judgment and revenge. We're ordinary, regular people. Like Mother Teresa said, no one can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And so we do small things. We do them down the street.
And you know, the most important thing that you said is to doing these important things with your good best friend, friends that fill you with hope and faith in God and in all of life. And I think that is so beautifully said, and it's so true, and I try to do that in my life.
Yeah. And also, the whole system works because we're not all nuts on the same day, you know. And so you and your best friend might be really, really going through it, and you bring love. You bring love and flowers or Hershey's Kisses, and then a few days later, everything is just feels like an anvil is dropped on your head, and you just feel, I feel like when the UN report on climate change came out 2 weeks ago, I felt doomed because I have a little 9-year-old grandson that lives with us, and I thought, what world is he going to be living in when he's his daddy's age? My son Sam is now 29, and I felt just immobilized, right? And so I called the best friend who'd been so, so suffering, and she would say, well, today we're going to send money to concerned scientists. Today we're going to pick up litter. You know, today we're going to be a part of the solution instead of the problem. And, you know, that's how the system works, that when somebody is down, we help pull them back to their feet. And then we know that when we're down, they'll be there with us with water and, you know, help us dust off and start walking again.
I was particularly intrigued by the essay in your book called Puzzles, because it states something and I never thought about, and that is truth is a paradox. So can you explain what really that phrase means and why it's so important for us to know about it and accept it and deal with it?
Well, for me, I tend to think that whatever I'm thinking is the right thing, and you know, that if it weren't, I'd think something different, and then that would be the right thing. So if I think something is just god-awful that's happening and really a nightmare, then I cling to that, and it just makes me be clenched and small and like a little, you know, a lonely little child. And then if I remember that all truth is paradox, I think that within this feeling or this understanding of reality, the opposite is true. The paradox is true, that it's a horrible, not a horrible, but a kind of miserable blessing, that these wake-up calls are miserable blessings because they help us get back into the precious community instead of our own isolation, like happened in Pittsburgh. And it was young people that called for the rallies and the solidarity and the community blessing and caregiving to those who were really, really, really down. So the chapter on paradoxes uses light as an example that we grew up, I might be older than you, but we grew up being told that light is a particle like sand. And then scientists prove that light is also a wave. We grew up, I think, believing lighting or knowing that light is a wave, then that light is a particle. And then scientists prove that light is both a wave and a particle at the same time. It's a grain of sand and an undulation in the water. And then they proved that when you look at light, it changes it. And so you can realize this with no matter what hardship you're going through or devastation or isolation or exhaustion, that things are more than one thing at once, and that if it feels just awful, something beautiful will almost certainly reveal itself too.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that I think comes out so strongly and beautifully in your book is that we don't always realize the amazing resilience that we have, and we can reinvent ourselves many times and dig ourselves out of difficult problems. And that's certainly something that you have done in various times in your life, and we read about it. That is very uplifting.
It is. Sometimes if I read the right words, even at my absolutely most defeated, it's like getting spritzed with a plant mister, you know, where I feel spritzed back into the now, and I get spritzed back into breathing. Breathing is usually where hope begins, is breathing and maybe doing that quick intake of air and looking around again instead of looking at the rat exercise wheel in our mind. And so I can read one line somewhere. It could be on Twitter. It could come in one of my daily devotionals. And I feel back in the saddle.
And, you know, what you said, you put it in such a beautiful way, and I feel it's so true. You said that books are your medicine. And what we read can be medicine for all of us. And we never really think about how important it is to take the time and read things that can open our minds, make us feel better, and do better things in our life and for the rest of us who are trying to live well in this world.
So, yes, exactly. We're all in the same boat. We drink from the common well, and so we can bring each other things that make that well a little bit healthier for all of us.
That's American novelist and nonfiction writer Anne Lamott in conversation with the host of our show, Carol Marks. Her latest book is titled Almost Everything, Notes on Hope. Coming up next, Carol interviews Dr. David P. Ryan, the chief of hematology and oncology at Mass General Hospital. That's next on A Touch of Gray. The talk show for grown-ups continues in a moment.
Don't do what I did and run out.
If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
Dynavite.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you 4 extra packs of Nubba Nubs, free.
Nubba Nub treats are freeze-dried beefy treats.
Made with no cereal fillers, chemical preservatives, or dyes.
Good for the tummy.
And yummy.
Nubba Nub treats.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite.com.
Al Herskovitz is an 87-year-old Korean War vet who, following his service to America, embarked upon a 68-year career in radio. In his new book, The Tall, Skinny Jewish Kid with Eyeglasses from Bridgeport, he recalls the fascinating characters he met as a child of immigrants, a soldier, and a radio broadcaster. These include showbiz celebrities, sports stars, politicians, international spies, and even a few mobsters. Al crossed paths with hundreds of fascinating figures, from Kate Smith to Bob Dylan to Benjamin Netanyahu. His story set against the backdrop of almost 9 decades of American history, wars, protests, rapidly evolving pop culture, and social norms. The Tall, Skinny Jewish Kid with Eyeglasses from Bridgeport. Get your copy now in paperback or Kindle on Amazon.com, published by Talkers Books.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain. What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Call 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK. That's 855-730-BACK.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivors' benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivors' benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Here again is our host, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Dr. David P. Ryan. He is the chief of hematology oncology at Massachusetts General Hospital. His new book is titled Living with Cancer, A Step-by-Step Guide for Coping Medically and Emotionally with a Serious Diagnosis.
How did you come up with the idea of writing about using palliative care and oncology together to provide a first-of-its-kind roadmap to cancer diagnosis?
Well, thank you so much for having me. This combination or collaboration between palliative care and oncology was an experiment, really, that started about 15 years ago or so at the Massachusetts General Hospital here in Boston. Vicki Jackson and I were young colleagues together. I was an oncologist, and she was a palliative care physician, and the experiment was to start seeing patients together on the outpatient service in the cancer center, and that grew into what is now a nationally recognized program that our colleague, Dr. Jennifer Temmel, has done research with and has shown the benefits of combined palliative care and oncologic care for cancer patients.
Now, is it fair to say that palliative care focuses on patient symptom management of adverse reactions to medication and treatments, as well as their emotional health during treatment? And this is something that probably a lot of oncologists themselves don't have time to do.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Most people feel that mistake that palliative care is just hospice care. They equate the two. But palliative care is about helping patients do as well as they can and get the best chance at the best case scenario at any moment in their care. It could be for folks who are undergoing curative therapy. It could be for folks who don't have a chance at curative therapy but just want to feel as well as they can. And it encompasses the entire patient. So not only the symptoms that they're going through from the cancer, the symptoms that they're going through from the treatment, but the emotional toll that this is taking on them and how to understand their own prognosis and their own way in the world. So it's a completely holistic approach to patient care.
Now, I think a lot of people do get mixed up between hospice and palliative care. So let's explain, you know, what the difference is, because it's important.
That's right. So hospice is it is a period of time that is defined. It's a program that exists for people who are in the last 6 months of life, and it helps them through end-of-life issues. Palliative care encompasses that, but it also encompasses all of the treatment-related side effects and cancer-related side effects. And really, palliative care doesn't just exist within cancer medicine. It exists in heart failure. It exists in COPD. All sorts of chronic illnesses have palliative care as a component of it. Historically, it's been mostly situated on the inpatient side. So when people get admitted to a hospital and their physicians need help in taking care of the symptoms, they'll often consult the palliative care doctor on the inpatient side. What's unique about the Mass General experience is that we do it on the outpatient side, together, side by side, with the oncologists.
And I think that's what's so impressive about it. And you always believed that when you started what we can call an experiment, which is now working so well, you believed all along that your collaboration with a palliative care expert would have a positive effect on your patients. But hasn't there been a 2010 study that really shows the importance of palliative care's impact on the outcomes that cancer patients have?
That's exactly right. So our colleague, Dr. Jennifer Temmel, wanted to show what kind of an impact palliative care could have. And so she did a randomized study back in 2010 where lung cancer patients who had stage 4 lung cancer were randomly assigned to either get early palliative care intervention. So the moment they were diagnosed with metastatic lung cancer, they were offered early palliative care intervention or usual care. And usual care consisted of the oncologist consulting with the palliative care whenever the oncologist or the patient felt like it was necessary. And so that study showed that not only was the quality of life and the symptom burden and the depression rate better for patients with the early palliative care intervention, but it also showed that they lived longer if they had the early palliative care intervention. So we don't know exactly what's helping people live longer, but what we think is that this intense attention to symptoms and intense attention to patients' well-being in terms of coping well emotionally with the diagnosis of cancer lends itself to people doing better and perhaps even living longer.
That's David P. Ryan, M.D. Dr. Ryan is the chief of hematology and oncology at Massachusetts General Hospital. He's written a book titled Living with Cancer, a step-by-step guide for coping medically and emotionally with a serious diagnosis. The host of our show, Carol Marks, will continue this conversation with Dr. David P. Ryan when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, resumes.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivors' benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivors' benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain. What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Call 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK. That's 855-730-BACK.
Hi, this is Michael Harrison. I hope you're enjoying this installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, and finding it to be a meaningful listening experience. This wonderful little weekend program has been on the radio across America in one form or another for more than 20 years. Its mission is to provide mature Americans with information and content about aging to help them cope with the nonstop challenges of life during these hectic modern times. We're talking about health, finances, relationships, and plain old fun. Whether it's learning about the latest technology and social norms, or fondly remembering yesterday's arts and entertainment, A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, is dedicated to serving that gigantic segment of the population so sadly ignored by most of today's popular media. Founded and hosted by a truly great lady, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the ongoing battle against ageism, this program is geared to what has commonly been referred to as the sandwich generation. Baby boomers who are coping with such challenges as still supporting their adult children while caring for their elderly parents. It's my honor and privilege to be associated with Carol Marks and be a part of her mission to support, defend, and inspire today's generation of what she lovingly calls seasoned citizens. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, online at www.atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. And right here on this great radio station every weekend. Thank you so much for listening.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivors' benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivors' benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Michael Harrison here. Those of you who follow talk radio and are interested in what goes on behind the scenes might also know me as the publisher of Talkers Magazine, the trade publication that serves the talk media industry. We cover the talk show business as it exists on radio, television, and the internet. I often have the opportunity to speak about these media as a guest on radio and TV talk shows or comment on industry developments in newspapers and magazines. For the past 3 years, I've also hosted a weekly podcast that features interviews with fascinating people from a variety of fields and walks of life. It's designed to be enjoyed by media freaks, pop culture aficionados, political junkies, and the philosophically curious. Recent guests include such interesting folks as former U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman, Richard Nixon's grandson Christopher Nixon Cox, Alex Jones, Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, Deepak Chopra, Dr. Alan Stern, the principal investigator of NASA's New Horizons Pluto mission, radio broadcasters Sean Hannity, Mike Francesa, and Joe Piscopo, and legendary WWE ring announcer Lillian Garcia. How's that for variety? Each week, I interview outstanding personalities from the world of radio or any number of its related fields in the arts, science, entertainment, politics, or academia. It's available to download, and you can subscribe to it at absolutely no charge whatsoever at Apple Podcasts or at the website mhinterview.com. The Michael Harrison Interview. Just a click away on your computer or mobile device. Visit Apple Podcasts or mhinterview.com. Make the Michael Harrison Interview a weekly podcast listening experience. This week on the Michael Harrison Interview, a fascinating conversation about changes in the world of sports.
Don't do what I did and run out.
If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about three quarters.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you 4 extra packs of Nubba Nubs. Free.
Nubba Nub treats are freeze-dried beefy treats.
Made with no cereal fillers, chemical preservatives, or dyes.
Good for the tummy.
And yummy.
Nubba Nub treats.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Let's get back to the conversation between the host of our show, Carol Marks, and Dr. David P. Ryan, the chief of hematology and oncology at Massachusetts General Hospital.
And I just did want to mention something about the importance of palliative care, because I understand that there aren't enough palliative care doctors practicing this specialty in this country. Do you see any hope that we'll get more?
I do. I think we're seeing young people coming through medicine more and more interested in palliative care. But you're exactly right. We are spoiled here in Boston with a surplus of young doctors and a surplus of people who want to go into these kinds of specialties. But even here in Boston, we don't have enough palliative care doctors to go around to see every single cancer patient. And around the country, there is a real need for more people to go into palliative care. It's a wonderful subspecialty and something that is incredibly rewarding, both from a professional and a personal aspect.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now jumping ahead to what a cancer patient goes through, there's, of course, that very important first visit. When he or she is going to the oncologist, they have some symptoms. They don't know what the cause of them, whether it might be a cancerous tumor or cells in the blood or body organs. What are some of the important questions you must ask, the doctor, the oncologist that you're thinking of using? And why is it important to have a friend or loved one go with you whenever you do see your cancer or palliative care doctor?
Well, so that's the reason we wrote the book. We wanted it to be kind of like what to expect when you're expecting for pregnancy. There's really no book out there that gives you that kind of guidebook of, at each stage along the way. And that first step is incredibly overwhelming. When you hear the news that you have cancer and it's potentially a very serious cancer, oftentimes people shut down immediately and they don't hear what the doctor or nurses are saying next. And that's why it's incredibly important to have a close friend or family member with you to hear everything and take notes and act as an advocate on your behalf. So that's critical. The other pieces of information in the very beginning are, A, you want to know what kind of cancer do you have? What's the pathology report show? That pathology report really dictates everything, and getting a copy of that pathology report is incredibly important. The second is what's my stage? What's my stage of cancer? Because that will tell you exactly what needs to happen. Doctors are now treating patients along national guidelines according to stage. And then the third question I would ask the doctor is about prognosis, but I would ask it in a way that gives a range. What's my best case scenario? What's my worst case scenario? And what's likely to happen in your opinion? And then what do I need to do to give myself the best chance at the best case scenario? If you have answers to all of those questions, you're on your way towards being a competent, capable cancer patient.
And you need that report of what your cancer is in order to understand it yourself. And
well, you do. Everybody likes to go to the internet, go to Google and Google their cancer. And, you know, this book that Vicki and I wrote, it came out of a conversation that Vicki and I had together. We get phone calls all the time from friends and family members saying, hey Dave or hey Vicki, will you call up my friend or my mother-in-law to talk to her about a cancer diagnosis? Or will you call up my friend whose mom got diagnosed in California with cancer and she has questions about what needs to happen next? And every week we're going home calling people several times a week and giving them the stories of how we take care of patients and how we approach these issues. And Vicki and I both have had this experience over and over again, and so we decided to write it down in a book. We find that the questions that people have are almost universal, and the answers, there are some guidelines to go about how to deal with these cancer diagnoses.
That's David P. Ryan, M.D., Chief of Hematology and Oncology at Massachusetts General Hospital. His book is titled Living with Cancer, a Step-by-Step Guide for Coping Medically and Emotionally with a Serious Diagnosis. The interview is conducted by the host of our program, Carol Marks. Coming up next, Carol Marks in conversation with Dr. Charles Gerba, a microbiologist from the University of Miami.
Get the stinky dog away from me.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Itching, licking, missing fur.
At least $5,000 in vet bill.
Creams, antibiotics, sprays.
No results.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Dinovite. .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Her coat is not soft. It's silky. It's healthy and shiny and glossy.
She's got life. She's got energy.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
Dinovite. .com.
Al Herskovitz is an 87-year-old Korean War vet who, following his service to America, embarked upon a 68-year career in radio. In his new book, The Tall, Skinny Jewish Kid with Eyeglasses from Bridgeport, he recalls the fascinating characters he met as a child of immigrants, a soldier, and a radio broadcaster. These include showbiz celebrities, sports stars, politicians, international spies, and even a few mobsters. Al crossed paths with hundreds of fascinating figures singers, from Kate Smith to Bob Dylan to Benjamin Netanyahu. His story set against the backdrop of almost 9 decades of American history, wars, protests, rapidly evolving pop culture, and social norms. The tall, skinny Jewish kid with eyeglasses from Bridgeport. Get your copy now in paperback or Kindle on Amazon.com. Published by Talkers Books.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivors' benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivors' benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain. What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Call 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK. That's 855-730-BACK.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Here again is the host of our show, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Charles Gerba, Ph.D. He's a microbiologist from the University of Miami, and he's here to talk with Carol about germs. He's affectionately known, by the way, as Dr. Germ.
And we're talking today about germs, particularly in the kitchen. And I understand that our own hands can also deposit germs to others. Besides colds, flu, and diarrhea, what other germs can our hands spread?
They can, and besides those classic ones, they can also spread foodborne illnesses. You know, the bacteria can grow in foods in the kitchen area, actually even in skin infections, too. So pretty much the range our hands can spread germs around. In fact, the Centers for Disease Control state now states that 80% of common illnesses are actually spread by our hands.
Wow. Now, I was surprised when you and a new study that you worked on concluded that the kitchens, even more than bathrooms, that really surprised me, are apt to be the most germ-infected places, particularly on holidays. So why is that?
Yeah, germs like food just like anybody else, and so most of the food is in the kitchen area, but they find a pretty happy place to grow in it, particularly sponges and dishcloths. You're always cleaning up spills of raw food products, particularly, and you get bacteria in the sponges, particularly. It stays wet, it's moist, you're putting food in every time you wipe something up, so you can get large numbers of bacteria, trillions, within a few days. And actually, in studies we've done by collecting hundreds of sponges from around the country, about 9 in 10 have actually fecal bacteria in them, and 1 in 4 have the fecal bacteria E. coli. So every time you think you're cleaning something up, you're spreading fecal bacteria around the kitchen without really realizing it.
So should we even use these ubiquitous sponges in our kitchen every day? And if we do have one, how should we take care of it? What's your suggestion?
Yes, a sponge is an essential cleaning tool in the kitchen area today. And the thing is, to take care of it, the bacteria will grow to trillions within a few days, 3 or 4 days. You should either put it in the dish machine, make sure it doesn't get loose, your sponge, and take your dishcloths and sponges and throw them in the washing machine with the hot water and bleach load is a good idea. Or some people have suggested you could put the sponge in the microwave and do it for 30 seconds. And the most important thing is that cleaning up spills in that. You know, most mammalians and baby boomers will use a sponge to clean up a meat spill, for example. But it's better to use a paper towel and throw those germs away, or anytime you're handling egg products in the kitchen and there's a spill or anything, you could have salmonella potentially in it, but you should use a paper towel. Use a paper towel when you're cleaning the inside of the refrigerator, particularly the bottom of the refrigerator where you get moisture collecting and microbes down there. In any place where you have a high chair, small children, tabletop where small children may be eating or playing, it's best to use a paper towel in those key areas.
And, Chuck, what about the cutting boards that we cut up the food on that we then are going to go on to cook? What's wrong with the way we use our cutting boards?
Yeah, unfortunately, most people just rinse their cutting board. So actually, you'll find more fecal bacteria on a cutting board because of preparing raw meat products than you will a toilet seat. It's actually safer to make a salad on a toilet seat than a cutting board for that reason. So you should really take care of it by, one, using two cutting boards, one for raw produce and one for raw meat products so you don't get cross-contamination. Put the cutting board, if it's plastic, in the dish machine, and use a sanitizer cleaner made for the kitchen area, or use bleach on the cutting board, because it's really important to take care of that cutting board. Most people really don't.
Good suggestion. Now, you recently participated in a new survey about millennials and baby boomers and their use of cleanup materials. What did this survey find? Was it shocking a little bit?
Yeah, I was surprised how often both groups, in reality, did not use paper towels as much as they should. They tended to rely more on the sponge for cleaning the surface and that. I think that's why some communication like this is important, to recognize that there's appropriate use of paper towels in the kitchen area, particularly when you're cleaning up spills of meat products. Is a good idea, because there still needs to be a continual learning effort to make sure it's important to know you have to take care of sponges and dishcloths, either replace them and clean them appropriately area. So this is something both generations need to really take to heart.
And one thing you pointed out, and I am so guilty of this, I often leave my purse on one of my kitchen counters. I come in, and that's what happens. Why is that a bad idea? And where should we leave our purses?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've tested the bottom outside of women's purses, and about 20% contain fecal bacteria. And the problem is, I think women put them on the floor of public restrooms, which tend to have a lot of fecal bacteria. You should either really put them on a hanger, if you can, or some other place besides the floor, because you can be moving germs from the bottom of a restroom floor right to your kitchen countertop if you're not careful.
Now, today, a lot of people are using reusable bags as a way of helping our environment. And we use bags for our groceries. Why is it important for people to wash them and have them in different colors?
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Different colors, so you can put your raw produce in one bag and meat products in another. Don't want to get cross-contamination. And make sure you wash them on a regular basis because bacteria can accumulate in there and actually even grow. If you put them in the trunk of your car during the summer, it's nice, wet, and moist. Actually, we found in interviews only about 3% of the people actually ever wash a reusable shopping bag. And there's been an outbreak of a norovirus, which causes diarrhea because of shopping bags being put on the floor of restrooms and that. So it's really important to, if you're going to use reusables, make sure you wash them on a regular basis and separate your food products.
Okay, and I just want to add that it's important to use hot water, which we're using less of today when we wash, and only 5% of us use bleach. So everything that you talked about today about keeping germs out of our kitchen was so helpful, because really they represent hidden dangers and we don't think about them, and our upcoming busy holiday season is coming up, so we shouldn't let our guard down, and we shouldn't let our regular good cleaning habits just fall by the wayside. So do you have a website where our listeners can learn more about your work and the book you co-authored, The Germ Freak's Guide to Outwitting Colds and Flu, Guerrilla Tactics to Keep Yourself Healthy at Home, at Work, and in the World?
Yeah, the best places to go for more information is foodsafety.org on the internet and cdc.gov, G-O-V, on the internet, and look up flus, colds, in food safety. That'll give you more information.
That's Dr. Charles Gerba, a microbiologist from the University of Miami, in conversation about germs with Carol Marks. Coming up next on A Touch of Gray, Meg McDonald, and a discussion about friendship. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
Ew, get the stinky dog away from me.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Itching, licking, missing fur.
At least $5,000 in vet bill.
Creams, antibiotics, sprays.
No results.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you gotta feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Her coat is not soft. It's silky. It's healthy and shiny and glossy.
She's got life. She's got energy.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
Bernadette Duncan spent 26 years as a radio talk show producer. In her new book, Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, she shares her adventures in the trenches of big-time talk radio during the changing backdrop of America's pre- and post-9/11 realities. This exciting story includes Bernadette's impressions of the quirky celebrity talk show hosts whom she served during her career, Larry King, Sally Jesse Raphael, Gil Gross, Tom Snyder, Lou Dobbs, Charles Osgood, and more. It's full of anecdotes about hundreds of high-profile guests from media, show business, and politics. Also quirky, ego-driven, and neurotic. Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, an analytical look at the media, journalism, and the complex nature of ego. Get it now at Amazon.com.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain. What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Call 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK. That's 855-730-BACK.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast with one of our most popular features, Meg. Meg McDonald and her megisms about everyday life. Quite fascinating indeed. This week, she talks about friendship.
Do friendships last longer than marriages? This question popped into my head the other day, so I did some research, and it turns out the answer is yes. Statistically, friendships are longer lasting than relationships. So what is it about friendship that's so friendly? Well, I suppose we could review psychological factors that decide the difference between a friendship and a relationship. But instead, I'd like to give you a Megism take on friendship. It came to me like a light bulb inside a cartoon thought bubble. Why is friendship so friendly? There's no paperwork. There are no papers to file to start a friendship. There are no forms to fill out. I'd like a friendship form, please. Doesn't exist. We don't have to get a license, sign a contract, or a prenup. There are no rules or annual dues to keep a friendship going, and no requirement to hold regular meetings to stay friendship active. We can go for years without talking to each other, and when we connect again, we pick up right where we left off. And unlike a change in marital status, if you gain or lose a friend, you don't have to notify the IRS. I'm going to be filing sans one friend this year, so I won't be taking that deduction. And we can have as many friends as we want. There's no limit. We are in no danger of receiving a notification from the cloud in the cosmos that our storage capacity is full. It's good to meet new people and develop new friendships. It's good for us to move our couch potato selves off the couch and go out and make new friends. And as I say this to you, I'm talking to me too. But old friends, they're so comfy to be around. And an interesting dynamic happens when old friends get together. We look past the gray hair, the wrinkles, and the scars that weren't always there, or the body that has a new shape, and we still see the same person we became friends with all those years ago. Things change with age, and there may be a lot of things we're too old to do, but we're never too old to make new friends.
Words of wisdom indeed. Thank you, Meg McDonald. Another installment of Meg. And if you'd like to binge listen to Meg, you certainly can. We have a whole bunch of Meg installments for you at www.talkerslive.com. That's talkerslive.com, the home of Meg McDonald. And that about does it for this installment of A Touch of Gray. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Thank you, Dwayne Doobie Jr., our producer on the front line, Carol Marks, our host and founder, and our affiliates all across the country. On behalf of all of us, please join us again here next weekend for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.